Culver's, where I just downed a thick shake and a butter burger. Now, my wife and I had booked a chalet in Vermont. Kathy Bates, baby. Peaches and raspberries with a little frontal nudity in it over there. He singled me out as a wise guy.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the last 60 years. Our great friend, General Manager Sean Sullivan, wants to give you extra personal service. Go in there, ask for him. He will give you the Joe Bucks fan discount, the Ira Kaufman discount, and make sure you are just taken care of in a way you haven't been before. Even if it's just talking about your next purchase, whatever it is, BillCurryFord.com is where you want to start shopping. Their slam dunk savings are rolling right now for the month of March. I'm looking here at a 2019 Ford F-150, starting only $19,999, lease for $399 a month. Get all the details at BillCurryFord.com, where their used inventory is phenomenal, and they have the nationwide lifetime warranty on used vehicles, as well as on their new purchases. Thanks to them for presenting all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. Our draft party is just 6 weeks away. Big draft party 6 weeks away at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. BigStormBrewery.com is the website. On 49th Street is the tap room. Delicious food, great fun. They've had many events there before. They're very skilled at events, and we've got a lot of cool things planned. And it's all about the beer. Big Storm Beer is brewed right there in Clearwater, and it is phenomenal. The Storm Tracker is where you can find where to purchase the beer in your neighborhood, wherever you are across the state. And there are so many great core beers, and then there's specialty beers. We love the Wavemaker Amber Ale, the original Big Storm beer, Tropic Pressure Florida Ale, Bramosa, Ira's favorite, the Bramosa Tangerine IPA. But the draft party details are flowing at JoeBucksFan.com. But in the meantime, drink Big Storm beer and think about how much fun it's going to be with so many Bucks fans, like it is every year, and Ira. All kinds of fun. So glad that we get to do this again, and we get a new venue, and we get to drink Big Storm beer all night. Nothing is better than that with Bucks fans. Pin Chasers. We tell you about Pin Chasers all the time. It's just a great place. It's where you go bowling in the Tampa Bay area if you want to have great food, if you want to have great service. It's not just a place where you go bowling and it stinks and all that stuff. No, this is great service, family-owned bowling alley. They do a great job with parties as well as office parties, birthday parties. There's games. You can shoot pool. And there's a special every single day that you can find at pinchasers.net. That's the website. You can even reserve a lane. Shoes are always free. Three locations. Check out the daily specials. Great place to go at Pin Chasers. All right, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is back for his second episode of the week. It's our third episode of the week. The bonus podcast was on Monday, and you can listen to them all either at JoeBucksFan.com or at Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Stitcher, wherever. We appreciate the many thousands who listen to every episode, and things are getting fired up now, right? Because we are 2 weeks from free agency, and Ira's got plenty to say, and there'll be a lot more. We have some specialty stuff going next week, which I think you'll enjoy from Ira himself. So I am stepping aside. Here is Ira Kaufman. Enjoy.
Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another broadcast of the internationally renowned, more popular than the Pope, more popular than Trump, more popular than who else? Bloomberg, Mike Bloomberg. He is the king of Pasco County, the Sultan. What are you a Sultan of, Ira?
SWAT.
All right, Sultan of SWAT. You are the custodian of Canton. You are the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Ira Kaufman. Ira, welcome. Welcome once again.
Now, don't get me in any trouble over here, Lee, because I'm old enough to remember when John Lennon almost got deported because he said the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ.
He was right.
And people went crazy. Well, and he had to apologize.
Yeah, that was the time. But he meant that more people listened to him now.
Yes.
And that's true, because the population of the world is what?
He didn't say that they were more important. He said they were more popular.
He was right.
And in more that people, regard, he was probably right.
I don't like the Beatles.
You're Eddie Van Halen. Okay?
Yeah. I thought Beatles is like lame pop cult stuff. Anyway, more people listen to the Beatles by records, by concerts, by radio, than Jesus Christ ever heard. Jesus Christ, I mean, Jesus Christ was unknown in the New World because there was no New World. The Asians didn't know anything about Jesus Christ.
Helter Skelter, DeKemper, you're going crazy over here.
My buddy, I told you my buddy from Chicago, I met, he always vacations in Sarasota in the winter. I met him yesterday, and we were talking about Howard Cosell. What was Howard Cosell, one of the greatest lines of Howard Cosell's career?
I don't know. It was plenty of them.
Monday Night Football, an unspeakable tragedy.
You know what?
When John Lennon got shot. An unspeakable tragedy.
You know, it's funny you mention that. It was December of 1980.
You were still in Manhattan, right?
Yeah, I was still working for UPI. Now, my wife and I had booked a chalet in Vermont. True story. Chalet in Vermont. We weren't even married yet. We were going to get married the next year. We only had known each other a year.
Chalet.
And a little chalet. It snowed like hell. I don't know if we got out of that chalet more than one time during that whole week, DeKemper. But we stayed busy, if you know what I mean. And back then, I had more energy. Let's just say it like that. Now, this is a true story. You cannot make this up.
There were no little blue pills back then?
Didn't need them. Still though. I take a big green one. No. So, Lee, it's a Monday night. We probably checked in. It probably was Friday to Friday. So we've been there 2-3 days. I've got the Monday night game on television. So December 1980. And what am I reading? And you cannot make this up. What am I reading?
The Bible.
And I'm stretched out on the couch. And my wife's on another couch. It's the only time in the whole week we weren't together. And what was I reading when I heard Cosell say an unspeakable tragedy? You cannot make this up.
The rise and fall of the Third Reich?
The Playboy interview with John and Yoko. In that issue.
Wow.
And I used to tell my wife, Playboy's got great articles. I read it for the interviews. They talk to old...
That is uncanny.
And she never believed that. She goes, oh, yeah, that's why you're getting Playboy in the mail over there. But that's a true
story. The articles.
That is a true... I was reading the John Lennon interview when Cosell... Now, speaking of Cosell, Lee, I'm going to run this past you.
And you met him once, right?
Yes. And I was at NYU grad school, and our teacher, Robert Lipsight, was a very noted...
Your teacher was Robert Lipsight?
Robert Lipsight was
really?
My professor. He's still living. He used to be a columnist with the New York Times.
Yeah, profound writer.
Yeah, profound writer. Wrote a lot of books.
Yeah. Robert Lipsight. And, wow.
He singled me out as a wise guy in that class. Because I would challenge him. And he gave me an A at the end. I remember the last paper... And he sent it back and he goes, anybody who challenges his teacher deserves to fail or get an A.
Yeah.
You get an A. So that was nice. He actually worked. Howard Cosell had a variety show. It was canceled after a month.
ABC.
Canceled.
I think every episode had Muhammad Ali on it.
I think it was called Saturday with Howard Cosell.
Yeah.
And it was about the same time Saturday Night Live started. It was the mid-70s.
Oh, okay.
And he was canceled. He had 4 shows and canceled. Lipsight was one of his writers.
Really?
Because Cosell loved Lipsight and they both... They both covered Muhammad Ali a lot in the mid-60s. In fact, Lipsight was in Miami Beach that famous day when Ali was training and the Beatles showed up at the training camp. That second time they were on Ed Sullivan, it was from Miami Beach. And somebody brought him over to, and they posed for pictures. And Lipsight's over there. Can you imagine seeing Muhammad Ali in his prime and the Beatles in a gym on Fifth Street in Miami
Beach? Well, the most famous thing about that to me was... After the Beatles left, what Ali said. Did you hear about that? That's unrepeatable, by the way.
Oh, it's unrepeatable? But you'll find a way.
No, I can't. This can't is pretty. It's pretty bad. It's
it was
damn,
not complimentary.
Absolutely not. If anybody would say this on the air, I don't care if it's Showtime. I don't care if it's WLS in Chicago, WFAN in New York. I don't care where it is. That person would be fired within 24 hours.
I'm going to tell you why I thought of Cosell. It's something I said on... Spectrum Sports Face-Off Monday night. The second question, which was for Twitter, was about Tony Romo getting $18 million. And the question was, is Tony Romo worth $18 million that CBS was going to pay him? I went first and I said, I don't understand. I would have took the job for $16 million. I don't understand. And then I said, Lee, nobody watches an NFL game based on who the color analyst is since Howard Cosell left the Monday Night Football booth. I'm serious about
that. Yeah, with the possible exception of John Madden, you're right.
Possible exception. And Roy said, absolutely not. I will watch a Titans-Bills game if Romo's doing it, because I will learn about football from Tony Romo.
You can also pick up a book and learn about football.
And at the very end, I said, Roy, you're at the point where you're learning stuff from Gene Dekoff. Never mind Tony Romo. But, Lee, am I wrong about this color analyst thing?
No.
You watch the game because it's the NFL.
Well, like I put this out on Twitter. Is anyone not going to watch an NFL playoff game on CBS if Tony Romo's not behind the mic? No. People are going to watch it, period, if you're a football fan. Hey, CBS has to do their research, and I'm sure they have, and if they could justify it, more power from the pride of Eastern Illinois University. I'll say this about Howard Cosell. Then people aren't listening for Howard Cosell. They're listening for you, Ira.
And don't mention the Premonte brothers. I know you. Never far from your mind over there.
My Howard Cosell line was one of his last matches. I want to see it was against Larry Holmes. But, of course, Cosell was a big boxing guy.
And he turned his back on boxing at the end.
Yeah.
The very end.
Molly was getting slapped around. I want to say it was by Larry Holmes. If it wasn't his last match, it was one of his last matches. I can't remember Ali's wife's name, but Cosell mentioned his wife, and he said, she begged Muhammad not to box. He paid her no heed.
That is outstanding.
The dramatic reading.
The dramatic reading.
All right, we're here for the Bucks. Now I got it.
And wait a minute. Speaking of CBS and broadcast crews, Lee, that brings me right to the Bucks in this regard.
Brazarians?
We're going to know that the Bucks are back on their feet as a national part of conversation, which they are now only because of Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
But I mean in general, that the Bucks are part of the national conversation. You know when we're going to know it? When we get freaking Troy Aikman on a broadcast instead of Dick Stockton.
That's not a Thursday night game.
And I'm not slapping Dick Stockton around.
He's over the hill. You know, he was over the hill 10 years ago.
I'm tired of Mark Schlereth over here. Can I have Aikman? And Buck, can I have it?
Now, here's the question I have for you. I posed this to a buddy of mine. I told you about him. He's from Chicago. He works in sports TV.
The guy that's in Sarasota.
Yeah, he winters in Sarasota for a couple weeks every year.
You didn't take a dip into the Gulf yesterday, did you, Lee?
No.
Right. I want to think about that.
Can you think of any player in any of the top four sports, team sports, can you think of any player that led the league in a major offensive category, and he's under 30, and he's healthy, that the following season couldn't find work? I can't think of any player in any of the major top four sports, under 30, healthy, that led the league in a major offensive category and couldn't find work the next year.
How about Anthony Collins, Bucks left tackle, led the league in penalties?
I don't know if that's a major offensive. I know what you mean. We're on the precipice of Jameis.
You mentioned how unique this guy is. You throw around the word unique, and it's used a lot of times when it doesn't apply. This guy's unique. The upside, the problems.
Yep.
Said you could make a cut up of 25 throws and say this guy's elite. This guy's a perennial Pro Bowler. Then you cut up the interceptions and you say, why is this guy even in the league?
Yeah, that was Nick Wright, by the way, not me. That was Nick Wright.
What was his FS1 line about, not why is he in the league? He had an even better line.
Yeah, he said, he goes, Jameis Winston, and basically Ian Beckles has said the same thing multiple times. You could, and as I'm quoting Ian Beckles, you could say Jameis sucks and you're right. You could say Jameis is excellent and you're right. Nick Wright said, yeah, Jameis, and he said, he's a unique quarterback. He said he's never seen anything like him. He said, you could take Jameis's, the 25 cut-ups of his best passes, like, wow, this guy's elite. Then you take cut-ups of his 25 worst passes, and this is Nick Wright saying this. He goes, why is a replacement player on the field? Was there a strike I didn't know about? Yes. And that's true. He is, like, so extreme on both sides. Jameis almost doubled his interceptions last year. I think his previous high was 18. That's not good, but it's not atrocious either. But if a guy doubles any category, good, bad, career best, or his career worst, that's generally an outlier.
What it could mean, Lee, is that he's not a good match for the offense that he's in that last year.
Well, then you flip the coin, and he led the league, and he had a lot of points, so I don't know. You know, it's the same thing I always say about Shaq. I would franchise Shaq because, you know, he went from, what was his career high, 5.5 to 19?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa, wait a minute here. And I'm not saying, you know, so when people say, well, Jameis hasn't proven he belongs in the NFL, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. But I'm not dismissing the bad. I think you can cut down on Jameis's interceptions. I think. I'm pretty damn sure you can't find his production walking the streets. And that's why I've decided with keeping Jameis. I get the interceptions. I'm not overlooking that. I understand they're bad. But the production, man, whoo.
I always thought I always thought a guy like Jay Cutler was polarizing. Winston's taken it to another level.
Yes, he has. Yes,
he has. It's a whole other level.
And I don't know if it's good either. Chris Sims said this. And obviously, Light and Arians. Arians on a sidebar when he said, hell yes, I can win with Jameis. I'm like, what is this circus for then? If you can win with Jameis, what's the deal? What's the point? Now, Chris Sims thinks Arians and Light have played this beautifully. That not only are they saying Jameis has to be better and there may be a better option.
So they're pissing on his market value in free agency.
They're declining his market. They're beating down his market value with other teams, so he's going to be cheaper to keep. And it's Chris Sims thinks this is played beautifully. Your reaction?
Well, that sounds good, Mr. Sims, but it sounds to me like you're still suffering under the flu-like symptoms you had the week before when you were puking your guts out.
In a trash can off the studio.
First of all, the other 31 NFL films are not going to be teams are not going to be swayed to a great degree by the public comments of Bruce Arians, because people know that February and March is crazy time.
Spin season.
They're going to look at tape. They got their own opinions on Jameis Winston.
So the smart, the savvy executives and coaches know that Arians and Light are spinning. Okay.
You would hope. Just like Arians and Light know that other people are spinning about their guys. Now, one of the guys that's being spun like a top, Lee, is happens to be the greatest quarterback of all time. I've come around to that. He's got 6 rings to prove it. And a bunch of other Super Bowls that he lost in. I mean, it's undeniable. You look up winner in the NFL, you see Tom Brady. I think he's out there, Lee. I don't think he's coming back to New England. A lot of people still think he is. I don't think so. Belichick's silence to me is deafening. And I think that's hurting Brady. It's hurting his pride. It's hurting what he felt he's put in 20 years of in Foxborough. And I don't blame him. And Lee, a new suitor has emerged on the rumor wire. This is a very interesting one. John Lynch's 49ers. A lot of people are pissing on it because they say they just made the Super Bowl with Garoppolo. And if he hits Emmanuel Sanders, and as a Chiefs fan, I can say this better than anybody. Sanders was open.
Yeah.
He had 2 steps on the Chiefs, which I don't understand how he got open. They had him double teamed. But if he hits that pass, Lee, it could be a whole nother conversation. Now the Niners are up by 3 with 1.5 minutes left. The odds are they win the game, you know. Not necessarily, but the odds are they win the game. And then nobody's talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. But he missed the pass. He didn't play great in the Super Bowl. He wasn't terrible. But the guy's not bad, Lee. He's not bad. But here's the X factor. And I haven't heard anybody mention this in terms of Brady and the 49ers. And you might have even forgotten this. Lee, a year or two ago, John Lynch was pestering Belichick. Is Brady available?
Oh, really?
This was a year or two ago.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. He asked about Brady. And
Belichick probably coughed up a storm.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that went nowhere. But that was 2018. Now it's 2020. Now Brady's arm isn't what it was in 2018. But Lynch hasn't forgotten about his pursuit of Tom Brady. There might be something there. There might be something there where Lynch thinks he could put us over the top. But I don't think, I'm not sure it's necessary, Lee. They got a hell of a running game. They got a hell of a defense. All they need is some decent quarterbacking. I don't think they need elite quarterback.
Well, it wasn't like Garoppolo stunk like a rotten fish.
I think it could be an overreaction if the rumors are true and Lynch is interested in Brady.
Well, the next question about that is, now I know Bucks fans, like, I don't give a damn about the 49ers, but
don't tell me you're going to say, well, wait a minute. Now, what if Garoppolo's available? There you go. I know the way your mind works.
And selfishly, I haven't even looked at the pros or cons of Garoppolo with the Bucks. Selfishly, I wouldn't mind saying that. You know why, don't you? Garoppolo went to the Harvard of the Midwest, Eastern Illinois. Like the guy you're talking to. I know him. I know him. So from both professional and emotional reasons, I would like that because I've got to end with the guy.
Well, I was about to say, Lee, and I know this is a shocker to you, but I was about to say I'm not sure Garoppolo's an upgrade on Winston.
Really?
Yeah. He's certainly not as productive. They don't ask him to be.
Most quarterbacks aren't as productive as Jameis, but, you know, yes, the people, I can be objective about Jameis. Garoppolo doesn't play Santa Claus like Jameis does.
You know, Lee, let's not forget, and it wasn't because of Garoppolo, but he was part of it. They had a 10-point lead with 7 minutes left and the defense fell apart.
And you got an excellent defense.
Is that on Garoppolo?
I don't think so, especially with that defense.
He missed one ball.
Granted, they're playing, they were facing the quarterback, you know, the best of our age right now.
I'm shocked you're saying Mahomes is better than Winston, though, Lee.
Mahomes is the best. Don't give me this Lamar Jackson. Mahomes is the best. But yeah, so you're lukewarm with Garoppolo being the domino that falls to Tampa Bay, huh?
I am. There's another domino in Derek Carr. He could be a domino.
I've always said that's a wild card. There are people out there that are absolutely convinced Carr is done in Oakland. Or
I believe
Vegas.
You'd have to make a trade for Carr. You'd have to make a trade.
Well, they can cut him as well. They can cut him as well.
They can cut him.
Yeah, and Michael Lombardi, I know a lot of people, they're dismissive about Michael Lombardi. But I listen to Michael Lombardi. I listen to Pat Kerwin. I listen to guys like that because you know what? They were employed to run NFL teams. Mock them if they were successful or not. I was not. You were not. The people in this restaurant were not. So they come at it with experience. I don't have that experience. I know very few people that do. And people say, well, they're a failure. Why are you listening to failure? Well, most general managers who weren't a failure are still employed, and they're not going to talk about the inner workings of their office. Okay.
Lee, speaking of New England and speaking of Winston, correct me if I'm wrong, but are there now some suggestions, that if Brady leaves the Pats, which I think he will, that Winston could be the fallback, or even if Brady comes back, Belichick could sign Winston as a backup until Brady moves on. Lee, can you think of two more disparate type quarterbacks than Brady and Winston? Or can Belichick work with anybody?
No, to me, a disparate, and obviously this is your podcast, not mine. People aren't turning in to listen to me. But to me, a disparate quarterback would be Tim Tebow. Guy who can't throw.
But Brady's a guy who gets the ball out in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Short passing game.
Sure.
Doesn't throw picks,
that's
it. It's not the same profile.
Well, I'm going to throw it back on you. You know, there's some suggestion out there that Winston could be a backup to Brady. If Bill Belichick takes a flyer on Jameis, shouldn't that be a massive red flag to Bucs fans? Like, whoa. Maybe the Bucs should have stayed pat. I mean, if Belichick takes a flyer on him, now you could argue, well, Belichick took a flyer on Tebow. He's taking a flyer on a lot of guys. But if Belichick has interest in
took a flyer on Antonio Brown.
Yeah, and if Antonio Brown was the complete imbecile, he'd probably still be there. That should be like a wake-up call if Belichick's taking a flyer on you.
We've never been through anything like this Winston scenario. We haven't been through it. Everybody's trying to read the tea leaves, including us.
And there's no tea leaves to read.
And we're trying to, you know, read into what Arians is saying and what Light's not saying, because Light doesn't say anything. Can you walk back some of these tepid comments on Winston if you bring him back to one buck plays? Can you walk it back?
Well, this is what Chris Sims said. I want your reaction. He said, and he used the word crap specifically. He goes, Bruce Arians has told this crap to Jameis Winston before.
That's a tremendous point by Sims, because you and I have talked about it. Even when he was making excuses, which he did all season until the last two games, about Winston, and we were smacking Arians around for making all these excuses. Oh, you know, the receiver cut the pattern short. That one's on the blocking. That one's on this. That one's on this. And we were getting on Arians' case. Hey, call it like it is. But we also said,
maybe
Lee,
at
the time, you don't know what Arians is saying to Winston behind closed doors. And I got a feeling he was pretty darn harsh on Winston. And I still think he was. I think Sims is right. I don't think he said anything that he hasn't said to Winston's face. But not publicly.
Yeah, that's not a different story. I started to bring this up earlier. Michael Lombardi, you know, they asked him about Brady in Tampa Bay. He flatly said, I don't buy it. And this is why. And this also, Teddy Bridgewater also falls in this category. Though Bridgewater wasn't mentioned, it's the same thing. Lombardi said, look, Brady is an intermediate passer. Arians wants to push the ball down the field. He wants explosive plays. That's not Brady, especially at his age.
I believe the Bucs led the league in 20-yard completions. Led the league, number one. I'd add maybe a couple more guys to that list. I'd throw Andy Dalton in there in terms of guys that don't fit the Arians profile.
Bridgewater?
Bridgewater, certainly. And Brady and Lee. The overarching point you're trying to make is, at his age, with all the years he has to formulate the kind of offense that he wants, even though Leftwich called the plays, it's Arians' offense.
Sure.
Otherwise, Leftwich wouldn't be calling the plays.
Mm-hmm.
And is he going to change Barkley? Is he going to adapt to Tom Brady and get the ball out in 1.6 seconds instead of throwing that 20-yard seam pass that Winston's good at? I think that's doubtful.
Do you think if Brady does or has interest in coming here, let's assume that him and Bruce Arians have a sit-down and they're feeling each other out. Don't think of that in a nasty term. They're feeling each other out. I'm trying to be funny here. But you think Brady tells Arians, look, you gotta mold your offense around me?
I could see it. And I don't think Brady'd be wrong. That's the mark of an outstanding coach. Look at Ajon Shula. You know, he's got greasy with the running backs.
Yeah.
But it's a running team. Here comes Mr. Marino in 83.
Yeah.
Yeah, the year of the draft, 83. All of a sudden, he's throwing the ball all over the place, Shula. That's good coaching, mm-hmm. Lee. That's good coaching.
That's molding your team around your talent. Now,
and I'm not going to say Arians can't do that. I'm not going to presume that he cannot do that.
Now, here's one that's overlooked fact. You know, I'm not anti-offensive line. That irks you. And it irks a lot of our readers that I don't go off on the offensive. If I thought the offensive line was a problem, I would say it.
Now, wait a minute. I want to narrow this down, Lee. Is your problem that you don't think the Buck line is that bad, or you don't think offensive lines are that important in today's game?
I'm not saying they're unimportant, but I still think a running back makes a running attack more than an offensive line. How many Pro Bowl offensive linemen did Eric Dickerson have? Did Barry Sanders have?
Those guys come around a generation, Lee.
They come around once in a generation, but also you got to remember it takes more investment to get a good offensive line, because you're talking about four or five players as opposed to one. And I'm not just missing the importance of an offensive line in any way, shape, or form. Hell, I played offensive line in high school.
I'll give you the other side, Lee. If you have an elite offensive line,
it helps.
A la Dallas. And Elliott's a hell of a back. But the year Elliott got hurt, I think the backup got 1,100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to my Chiefs, Lee.
How about going back to your buddy Charles Sims? Hey, he stunk, but he did pretty well as a rookie behind the two other rookies, Donovan Smith and Ali Marpet.
But you remember my Chiefs, Lee. They had Willie Rofe and Will Shields. And a couple other good
players. And they couldn't win a playoff game.
But they did whatever they wanted on offense. And that was Trent Green.
Until it began January.
Green, yeah. Trent Green.
He was a good quarterback.
They were scoring 32 points a game.
This is sort of like what comes first, the chicken or the egg, because the Bucs won a Super Bowl with Kenyatta Walker.
You want Adrian Peterson.
I think the Bucs have tried.
I mean, in his prime, Adrian Peterson, yeah.
I want a productive running back. Now, it doesn't have to be a Hall of Famer. Just a productive running back.
Well, I wrote a column saying Cam Akers should intrigue the Bucs quite a bit.
Oh, the thing that intrigues me about Cam Akers, he produced with an atrocious offensive line in college.
That shows he's mentally tough.
Yeah,
right?
Mentally tough, physically tough, and has vision. If you don't have blocking, you better have vision. Doug Martin didn't have vision.
And he can catch the ball, Lee.
That guy intrigues me. Getting back to Brady and the Bucs, Bruce Arians' offense, it allows for the quarterbacks to get beat up. Did so. No one ever suggested Pittsburgh had a bad offensive line. Roethlisberger got pounded on.
Carson Palmer got pounded.
Yeah, and reason why Arians got fired from Pittsburgh, the Rooneys decided our investments in Roethlisberger, we can't afford him getting beat up like this every year. And that's why they got rid of Arians. I can't remember last time Pittsburgh had a bad offensive line. Honest to God. We're going back 25, 30 years. I can never remember
that. You're right.
And like you said, Carson Palmer. And Jameis last year, who has escape ability, which Brady does not.
47 sacks, I believe.
Well, I'm looking at quarterback hits. He had 103 or 106, one of the two. 103 or 100, so it was low 100s, under 110 quarterback hits.
That's on top of the sacks.
You don't need to sack a guy to get hit. That was fifth most in the NFL, tied with the Jets.
Now, they did throw the ball.
Sure they did.
More than anything.
Sure they did. But if you're Brady and you're thinking about coming to the Bucs, you're just chit-chatting with Arians. You're trying to feel each other out, like I said. You look at Arians, like, well, you like to throw the ball a lot? I like to throw the ball a lot. Jameis got pounded on last year. I'm 42 years old. I don't want to take the punishment. What are you going to do for me?
That's why I think Brady's first question is, if you want me to throw 38 passes a game, we got a problem. I want to throw 26 passes a game and run 32 times.
There's another one that I was going to bring up. If you're Brady, do you go up to Arians like, look at this slop you got for running backs. I'm not even dreaming about coming to play unless you have a come to Jesus moment and get a running back.
Now,
what do you think about that?
Well, I think that's a fair point. And Don't you want to be there when Arians compares O.J. Howard to Rob Gronkowski? Don't you want to be there, Lee?
If I'm Brady, I'm going timeout. If O.J. Howard was this good, why didn't you use him? And that's another thing I'm thinking Brady's got to tell Arians. Like, hey, I like to throw their tight end, but you don't use the tight end. So Brady's going to ask Arians, number one, you're going to have to change your passing offense from long ball to intermediate. Number two,
don't have a good running game.
You better get a good running back, or at least a halfway decent one.
Tight end's a problem.
Number three, you got to use the tight ends. That's all anti-Arians. So your response, your thoughts.
You're making the case why Brady's not going to pick the Bucs if he leaves New England, and I think you're right. I think he's going to have five suitors, and yes, the Bucs will be one of them. Arians wants him. Arians makes no bones about it.
Yeah, he said it.
He's the guy who said it.
Yeah, he violated tampering rules.
But what Arians wants, Arians doesn't always get.
Now,
in this case, he's going to come up empty.
Now, here's another one for you. This is Brady talking Brady. Brady Quinn talking Tom Brady. And Brady Quinn said...
You're quoting Brady Quinn? That's worse than Michael Lombardi.
Well, he played in the NFL. I didn't, you know? He doesn't see Brady coming to Tampa Bay unless... This is a big unless.
There's an unless over here.
And it involves the Glazer family. Brady said, and I'm quoting, that organization and that team, emphasis on both thats. I don't see Brady going there barring a substantial check or something unforeseen, i.e. a piece of the team.
Do the Glazers strike you as somebody that's ready to give somebody a piece of the team? But Lee, the implication of what you just said is that Brady's decision will be based in large part on financial considerations.
Should be.
I don't agree with that.
You don't think so?
I don't think it will be. I think it's going to be who gives him the best chance to get into another Super Bowl and say, screw you, Belichick. I can do it without you. Even though those guys won six together.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest coach-quarterback tandem ever. Yes. And I mean you, Paul Brown and Otto Graham, you know, which was fantastic.
Oh, I forgot about those guys. Always.
Star and Lombardi. Bradshaw and Noel. But this is a whole different, you know, ballgame. I don't think it's... How much money does Tom Brady need? And Giselle's making more than him. Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, what's he want to buy? American Samoa? Wants to take that delegate away from Michael Bloomberg? Don't take Bloomberg's delegate away. And by the way, he's out of the race.
Right? $500 million for one delegate.
You cannot believe it, Lee. You cannot believe
must
a man
be nice
spent $500 million in 6 weeks and got the hell and ran out of town. You can't believe it.
But, I mean, what do you think? First off, I don't think it's allowed.
I think it's the team that Brady thinks can get him the farthest. I think that's what it is.
From the Glazers' point of view, you know them.
Yeah.
You talk to them.
I think they'll put the full court press on Brady.
I don't think you can give a chunk of the team to a player. I think that's against the rules. I just don't think they do that. That's number one. That's not to say there isn't a handshake deal somewhere like, we'll give you an option to buy a piece of the team.
Well, Swaggy Baker owns 3% of the team.
Well, you know, my first contention is, if that was an option in the NFL, wouldn't Peyton Manning already have a chunk of the Colts? Wouldn't Dan Marino already have a chunk of the Dolphins? So, number one, I don't think it's allowed, but let's say it's allowed, hypothetically. Would the Glazer family even entertain... If they were, are they that smitten with Brady that we'll give you an option, Tom, after you retire, to buy 5% of the team?
I think that'd be a blocking point. I do. They're very careful about financial aspects of the organization. We don't have access to the broadsheets, the spreadsheets. But what we do know is what Forbes gives us, and what Forbes gives us is they paid $192 million, and now it's worth more than $2 billion. And people were screaming at Malcolm, $192 million, are you crazy? For this franchise,
That's an investment.
That's an investment. You know, the same thing happened with years before that with Jerry Jones. People thought he was crazy, but he wasn't.
Oh, my gosh.
And Malcolm wasn't, mm-hmm. You know. I don't see the Glazers messing with the financial structure of the Bucks, Brady or no Brady. I think that's a deal breaker. And I don't think Brady would ask for that.
We know the Glazer family. They like splash.
Yes.
They like... their team talked about.
Yes.
I.e. Jameis. Do you think one reason they're smitten in Brady because they know that if Brady comes to the Bucs, all of a sudden the Buccaneers franchise is talked about throughout sports, not just Tampa Bay.
Maybe the entertainment world, too.
Maybe. Hell, you know it will be. You know, remember when Michael Jordan used to go to games?
You can't wait for Carissa Thompson to come down here, Lee. You just can't wait for that. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And you might even get a surprise visit from Kay Adams in the summer.
Well, I'm more interested in that. Carissa Thompson, I mean, she's a beautiful woman, don't get me wrong. But we know the Glazers like Splash. We know they like Buzz. And people may find this hard to believe, but that actually increases the value of your franchise. And for evidence, I suggest they talk to Mr. Jerry Jones.
No question about it.
So, do you think that's one reason why they want to get him? Not just Tampa Bay-wide, not just NFL-wide, throughout sports, throughout entertainment. TMZ will be down here. Entertainment Tonight, Giselle.
You just made the case why the two key entities, the head coach and the owners, in whatever order you want to put them, probably the owners first, both have an interest in Mr. Thomas Brady. Arians isn't thinking about the value of the franchise.
He didn't care.
Arians wants to get back on a winning track because he's had 3 years in a row, correct me if I'm wrong, the last 2 years in Arizona and here, where they haven't had a winning record. That hurts his reputation. He's a two-time coach of the year. Used to be considered elite. I considered him elite. Well, I think he went 7-8-1 and maybe 8-8 those last 2 years in Arizona, now 7-9. The luster is coming off Arians over here.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, I think that Jameis has such a rotten reputation with so many that that's
people
not
blame him for the 7-9.
Yeah, not necessarily Arians. Another, I think they're giving Arians credit for getting to be 7-9 over with what he had to work with.
Maybe. But in his mind, he said it's a quick reclamation project. It's easier than Arizona. Well, he went 10-6 his first year in Arizona. They didn't make the playoffs, but he won 10 games. And I think the Bucs last year might have had more talent than 2013 Cardinals. I think you can argue that.
Wow.
He had Patrick Peterson. He did. You know, but the Bucs had the NFL sack leader. The Bucs have the best receiving tandem in the National Football League.
Well, he had Larry.
He had Larry, a Hall of Famer. No question about it. But was Fitzgerald at his peak much better than Mike Evans? Much better. Maybe a little better.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think Larry, you could argue...
He's the first ballot Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah, I think you could argue easy top 10 NFL history at his peak.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not knocking Fitzgerald. He's a no-brainer. But you just made the case, and I think for varying reasons, why ownership and the guy that runs football operations, which is the head coach...
Ooh.
Which is the head, you know that. We tell it like it is on this podcast, Lee. And that's why I'm going to crack the top 50 again. Look out, Nancy Grace.
So you're saying that...
I'm saying that everybody at One Buck Place is all in on Tom Brady.
Okay.
But I still don't think it's going to happen. They can't make the decision for Brady. Brady will make the decision. Yeah.
Are you suggesting Bruce Arians has usurped Jason Light as the man who calls the shots?
How could you ask that with a straight face over there at the camera?
Well, because
I got to shut down this podcast.
I get texts from One Buck Palace periodically, and let's just say the insinuation doesn't... To use a rock and roll term, the insinuation doesn't go over... It goes over like a lead balloon. Lead Zeppelin.
Let me say this. In terms of who they're picking in the fourth round on the third day of the draft, I'll give that to Jason Light and his crew. I'll give that to Jason Light. But if Bruce Arians doesn't want the guy that Light settled on at number 14... He ain't coming to the Bucs. And the Glazers will back him up 100%. You know that. What are we missing, Lee? Did we miss a topic? Did we miss one damn topic on this
podcast? Yeah, we missed a couple because all we're doing is talking about quarterbacks.
Richard Jewell might be on demand on my Spectrum, man.
If you haven't watched it yet?
If it is, I'm going to go see it because of your recommendation. Even though Clint Eastwood's taking a little beating about the way he portrayed the female journalist.
Yeah, which
people don't like that. He's implying she slipped her way to the story, and she's passed on. She's not even here to defend herself, and a lot of people don't like that aspect of the movie. You were okay with it? You didn't think
that's Hollywood. I mean, I could think of a whole lot worse representations of people than what he did with.
How's
the
my
reporter?
Girl Kathy Bates? She's always good as the mother, right? Kathy Bates.
Only you would refer to Kathy Bates as my girl.
Kathy Bates, baby.
She's no Kim Basinger.
She's Shirley Booth from Hazel.
Oh my gosh, that's way back.
When's the last time you heard a Hazel reference?
20 years.
20 years.
And probably people have no clue what we're talking about.
She played a maid, right? She was a maid.
It was an awful TV show.
Speaking of TV and references,
Carissa Thompson.
Austin Seferian Jenkins was just referenced on the latest episode of a show that you have no clue about.
Yeah, because I have
which
HBO.
Happens to be a damn funny show. Pay you $12 a month over there at the Kemper. I'll lay it out for you.
I'm paying Showtime right now so I can watch Homeland.
I'll lay it out so you can watch some movies with a little frontal nudity in it over there.
I don't need that. I don't need the frontal
nudity.
Never
mind that. So, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David's show.
Why are you watching stuff with frontal nudity? Is that a necessity?
I'm not. I'm watching Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You and your green pills?
Never mind. You don't forget a thing. Anyway, Austin Seferian Jenkins referenced twice in the late, and it was a very funny episode because it was about a guy who committed suicide. And
That's funny.
And they asked why, and they found out it was because he was a diehard Jets fan and he couldn't take the losses anymore with the Jets. And Larry David was saying something about some touchdown that ASJ, they took it away from him. Remember in the corner of the end zone? I don't even remember what the hell they ruled on it. But they were talking about it. Boy, to hear
so Austin Seferian Jenkins.
I'm trying to forget about Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Austin Seferian Jenkins in a sitcom was the catalyst for someone putting a gun in their mouth?
So to speak. Oh, man. Would you say yes or no? He was a bust as a Buck draft pick. Yes or no?
Not only that, but I know Bucks fans won't go to the point of swallowing a gun over Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Was he a bust?
Yeah, I said, yeah, but I know Bucks fans. I'm sure there's some of them that ram their cars into a mailbox because of the idiot. He's the only guy.
I had talent.
Well, sure, but
they
he was
all have talent.
What does Jason Light say? The biggest mistakes are the 10-cent heads. He was a 10-cent head. I will never ever forget that guy. I've never heard of this before. And I even called up Howard Balzer. Howard Balzer, a longtime NFL guy. He works for Sarah Six
St. Louis.
Longtime NFL Writers Association honk. I called him up and said, Howard, have you ever heard of a guy getting thrown out of underwear football practice, an OTA practice? He said, no. And this guy, Austin Seferian Jenkins, got tossed.
Who threw him out? Cutter?
Derek Cutter, yeah. I've never heard of such a thing. An underwear football practice he got thrown out of.
We used to think he was unlucky with the injuries. He was his own worst enemy.
Well, what I remember when Jameis was a rookie and ASJ was second year, and at first those two guys were buds. They'd go to Lightning games together. They'd do everything together. And after about 8 months, Jameis wouldn't have anything to do with him. And a year later, Jameis' second year, Steve always talks about this, ASJ did something over in Jacksonville during a practice where Jameis absolutely unloaded on him.
You know,
get your head in the game. Just really unloaded on it.
Another example, and we've talked about this, and it's a big, big topic in the NFL, how your decisions have ramifications. For example, suppose ASJ was a stud. Then he gets a second contract with the Bucks. Then they don't draft O.J. Howard in the first round. Maybe they draft Dalvin Cook. Now they got Dalvin Cook, and we're not having this conversation about Ronald Jones. And Obi-Wan Kenobi. So, Lee, Lee, you know I'm right. You misfire, and then you got to make up for it, and it screws you up.
I'll give you a perfect example, and it's all within a six-week period, maybe a two-month period of the Bucks. When Lovie first came here, got rid of Donald Penn. It was one of his first moves. Got rid of Donald Penn. Well, because they got rid of Donald Penn, they spent all this money on Collins, who was a colossal bust.
Got rid of Revis.
Well, we'll get there in a second. Because Collins was such a bust, they had the draft for Donovan Smith, who, as we both know, is a very popular player with so many Bucks fans. And there's the domino effect right there. That's number one. Number two, Revis. Revis can't play for me. You
have to pay him all that money.
Not just that.
And giving up a number one.
Not just that, but to replace him, they had to spend even more money, and they got another bust. And look what they could have, if they had kept Revis, who they could have bought as a player. If, for example, they kept Penn, who they could have drafted as a player. It just, these bad decisions just
multiply.
Snowball. Yeah, snowball. To this day, I am PO'd at Lovie Smith. And people say, when are you going to get off Lovie Smith? I said, when they finally dig themselves out of the hole he dug, and they haven't done that yet. And if thinking Bucks fans know that Lovie Smith's, I'm not going to be specific because I don't want to get anybody mad. Lovie Smith's fingerprints are still all over this team.
It's the toughest question I've ever asked you on a podcast.
Peaches or raspberry?
And here we are, We just had a butter burger. You're all you're all testosterone. You're all rocked up. We had a thick shake. Mine was at peaches and raspberries.
This is a cardiologist's dream right here.
No question about it. Lee, here's my question. You better think hard and think twice, baby. If Jameis Winston hits free agency, signs with another team, Bucks go in another direction, was Jameis Winston a bust?
Depends what he does. Depends what he does his next stop.
In other words, you might be saying he wasn't a bust, but you didn't use him right. You didn't get the best out of him.
No, they gave up on him.
That's what you're trying to say.
No, I'll say they gave up on him too soon, which this team has a sordid history of doing with quarterbacks.
What kind of history?
Sordid history.
Sordid. Outstanding.
Sordid history. Now, I'm going to bring this up. JPP. Pat Kerwin says he's going to have a lot of...
JP Peterson.
No. I don't know if JP Peterson has any suitors. I'm just joking with him. But Pat Kerwin says JPP is going to have a lot of interest in free agency.
I agree.
Now, if the Bucks get Brady, or if the Bucks get Conklin, or the Bucks get anybody, pick whoever it is, that's going to be expensive. How do they afford JPP? Since there's probably going to be a bidding war for him.
You got to sign him before free agency.
Oh.
You got to take him out. You take that option out because you get 6-7 teams involved. I'll top that offer. I'll top that offer. All it takes is one. And as much as JP wants to play with Shaq Barrett, if the difference is in the offers is $6 million, you know, they follow the money, even though they say it's not about the money. Lee, I've come around on JPP. I said cut the guy when he got hurt.
A lot of people did. I think I was one of them.
He showed me an awful lot.
Yeah, he did.
He really did.
He really did.
And Shaq Barrett will be morose. How do you like that? If you don't bring JPP back, that's not the main reason to bring him back. I ain't giving a guy $20 million, but he showed me a lot in 2019.
Well, speaking of morose, if you sign JPP for free agency, which means you're going to have to sweeten the pot, get him to sign.
I didn't say franchise him.
No, I understand. It means you're going to have to, you will have to sweeten the pot to get him to give up testing the open market.
Well,
so
didn't they mess with his contract 6 months ago?
Yeah, they kind of painted themselves in the corner. But a lot of people didn't have a problem with that because they didn't think he was going to come back. And they will have to sweeten the pot to make it worth his while not to test free agency, not to test the open market. If you're Rosenhaus, i.e. Shaq Barrett, and you see that, you're like, hey, something for the effort.
And then you say to Rosenhaus, sorry, he's franchised.
Oh.
And you think they're going to franchise Shaq Barrett?
I think they're going to franchise only to buy time to sign him. But do you risk piling all this cash in JPP's wallet at the same time risking pissing off Rosenhaus and Shaq Barrett?
Well, I'll tell you what
Excuse the language.
I'll tell you what I think the priority is, and I'm going to take Arians at his word, Lee, and I think you'd agree. The priority, even maybe more than Winston, is to bring the guys on the front seven on defense back.
Well,
Arians is adamant about it.
Well, you're setting me up for another question. If you pour a lot of money into JPP, and you also pour a lot of money into Shaq, and I understand that, he's not going to be cheap. Do you have cash left over for Sue? Do you have cash left over for a quarterback? Do you have cash left over for a right tackle?
I thought the Bucks have all this money.
Well, now, they go as quick when you're paying people a lot.
They also want to sign Godwin to an extension.
That's on the back burner.
It's complicated. Arians seems to think that defense can carry this team. And I think it's another reason why he thinks he can part with Winston and get a guy that won't lose games in his mind, which he probably thinks Winston lost the last two games of the year. That's a little harsh. He didn't have
one
his
of them,
best
yes.
receivers.
One of them, yes. Well, I can't go there. That means that Jameis isn't worth a crap if you don't have top shelf receivers. I can't go there.
I did not say Sue's coming back. I did not say that. Mm-hmm. I said he could be the odd man out. He could be. Especially if they draft a Kinlaw or somebody like that at 14.
Okay. Now what happens if they go into the draft with Gabbert as your starting quarterback?
This podcast ends within 3 seconds. It self-destructs like Mission Impossible. Self-destructs.